Radio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
At a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only ages. She's been reading about Nashville and all the records that everybody's buying. 'Cause I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country. Look at them boots. She's gone country. Back to her roots. She's gone country. A new kind of suit. She's gone country. Here she comes.
Well, good evening and welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to give you a warm welcome to our show this evening. I think it's going to be fun and full of energy and just a really wonderful evening full of memories and all those things that make Christmas what Christmas is all about. We are just going to sit back today and visit with some folks that have been so gracious to call in and share some of their Christmas memories with us. And we are opening it up to our live listeners that are on the air now or listening via the Internet. You can call in and visit with us at 347-857-3760. And when you call in, just listen to the prompt, and it'll prompt you to dial 1 to go into the host queue. Once you get in there after dialing 1, our producer, the lovely Maria DiGiovanni, will introduce herself and let me know you're there, and we will bring you on the air, and you can share with us all those wonderful Christmas memories that makes every year just, you know, this holiday is just a great time to just really relish in everything family and Christ, and that's what we're here for. So with me tonight, we are one beautiful co-host short tonight. Donna Lynn is in Australia, and it is 16 hours ahead over there. So she is smack dab in the middle, I believe, of all the Christmas Eve festivities. So Donna Lynn, if you do not join us tonight and you call back in later and listen to the show, we miss you, we love you, and we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and so happy you get to spend it with your family. But with me tonight is always the most beautiful Vicki Christensen. Vicki, are you there?
I'm here, Becky. Thank you so much, darling. Welcome, listeners and guests. Thank you. What a wonderful special time tonight to celebrate Christmas and the memories that we all share. Thank you for being with us.
Well, we are going to do things a little bit different. Usually, like I said, we have a special guest on each and every week, and we've just kind of rustled them all back up and try to see who was available that would want to come back on and share with us. So we have quite a few people on the line, and the first wonderful Christmas memory we are going to share tonight is from, you've heard her before, she's just a beautiful gal, and she's with us for our special in Las Vegas, and that is Jamie Gearing Roush from Moses Lake. Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you? Merry Christmas,
good.
Everyone.
Well, you know, like I said, we are just here. We're just, you know, grabbing cocoa, grabbing coffee in our cozy. Well, I'm in this sweatshirt and my lovely little bear paw slippers curled up around my computer. So I'm excited to hear how you're going to start us off with your beautiful Christmas story. So please share with the audience what you wanted to tell us about your fondest Christmas memories.
Well, thank you so much, Becky and Vicki, for having me again back tonight. The last two times that I've been with you on the air have been wonderful, especially our awesome time together at the Cowboy Christmas in Las Vegas. And I just want you to know how much I love and appreciate you. It's such an honor to always be with y'all. And I would love to share my favorite Christmas memory. My favorite Christmas memory was back in 1995. I have very many beautiful Christmas memories, but this one just really has always resonated God's love and God's sovereignty in my life. And whenever I'm going through a tough time, I remember about this Christmas, and it helps me get through that rough spot. I'll never forget the Christmas of 1995. I was recently divorced, and I had two small children. My son Brady was 9 years old, and my daughter Casey was 3. And I was working at a chemical plant here in Moses Lake, Washington, and I was just, you know, the typical scraping by paycheck to paycheck, and I didn't know how I was going to figure out how to pay those bills. And Christmas was coming up, and I was getting very worried and very concerned about how I was going to afford everything. And I'd gone to the dollar store, scraped together about $20, and bought some gifts for my kids, but it just didn't seem like enough. And I knew I didn't have what they had written letters to Santa for. And so I fervently prayed that week before Christmas for the Lord to provide for me and for my kids. And I mean, I was just on my knees praying for God to bless us. And I started meditating on the scripture, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, that says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And the scripture goes on, and it explains how God is our provider. And I just started standing on that word, and I just started claiming it that week. And long story short, we went to church. Well, we come home from a dinner, and we stumbled across a box of food and toys that had been left on our doorstep. And that was just so magical, because we had just a couple of cans of soup left. We were down to our last squirt of toothpaste, last roll of toilet paper. We were really on desperate times. We were so broke, I could only afford to have the furnace up every 2 hours a day, and then be huddled together underneath blankets, sleeping in one bed, the three of us. And, you know, we had a roof over our head, and we did have food to eat, but it was very, very worrisome and desperate times. And to see this plethora of food, this abundance of food, and all these beautiful little gifts for the kids, I just cried, and so did they. It was just such a wonderful blessing. But God is the God of and more. He's the God of abundance. And the next day we went to church, and a dear friend of ours had given us a card. She said, I just want you and the kids to have a good Christmas. It's not much, but, you know, here you go. And God's timing was perfect, because she said, you know, I've been trying to get this card to you for weeks. And his timing was so perfect, because I probably would have spent the money she put on in the card on bills, knowing me at the time. And it was just perfect timing that I was able to buy the Santa gifts, plus a few extra groceries for the kids and I. The kids weren't asking for much. They were. Brittany was asking for a football helmet. Casey was asking for some little food for her little kids, her little Tyke's kitchen. So it wasn't like it was a really expensive thing. But, you know, remember the story with the fishes and the loaves. The Lord took that $50 and multiplied it greatly. And in my lifetime, I've experienced those $50 blessings that, you know, I look back and it was worth $1 million because someone gave from their heart. And that was truly God coming in and answering my prayer. Later that day after worship service, we walked out to our car and someone had broken into my car. I couldn't figure that out. Broken into my car and stuffed the back seat full of presents for the kids and I. Coats and snow boots and socks and toys and I don't know, you just name it. We had it, plus more food. And then later on through the Christmas season or the next day, we went to another friend's house and more food and toys. And so we were just overflowing. We were able to fill our cupboard, and the kids were lacking nothing. And isn't that how our God is? He, you know, he's our shepherd that we shall not want. We shall not want for anything. And so I just wanted to rejoice and share with you what God had done in our life the Christmas of 95 when we were at such desperate times. God answered prayer through these beautiful friends and family that we didn't even expect. And I didn't have to worry about what it looked like or how I was going to come up with it as a single mom. And that was such a blessing that my church family and other families rallied around us, and they just blessed us tremendously. Brady is now 27 years old. Casey is 23. And to this day, this is still the greatest Christmas of their life because they really remember the true meaning of Christmas and giving to others, as well as learning to receive and not being too prideful to take a gift when it's truly been given in the spirit of love and the spirit of Christ. And so I thank you for allowing me to share my story, my testimony today. So God bless each and every one of you, and I just hope that you have a richly, abundantly blessed Christmas.
Oh, thank you so much, Jamie. I sure appreciate you. I sure appreciate you. That, what a way to start off our show. That's exactly what this show is all about. It's about the beautiful things that we are, you know, why we celebrate Christmas, why what it means to us. And I believe that for most of us, that are listening and joining in, that's what it's all about, Christ first and the fact that, God sent a Savior to this earth so that we could have eternal life with him. And yes, the Christmas and everything, there's all those lovely meanings wrapped up to it, the trees, the presents, and all those things. But when it comes down to the true heart, it's the fact that, God loved us so much that he sent his son to be born in a manger so that he could save the world and be God among us, Emmanuel. So, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on. Amen.
Amen. And,
Jamie, this is Vicki. Thank you so much for sharing that very special Christmas of 1995 with us. Like Becky said, what a wonderful way to kick off this hour of Christmas memories and praise to Jesus and for everything that we have to be thankful for. Thank you, Jamie. We love you.
We love you too, Vicki and Becky both. And just glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. All the glory goes to him. The honor goes to him, and he is the greatest gift that this world has ever seen and will ever know. So thank you for allowing us to share tonight, and, just Merry Christmas to all of you. God bless you.
Merry Christmas. Well, we are going to go in. We have a special little visitor that we're going to we'll take a few minutes and listen to, and this is I was just tooling around today trying to find some things to share with everybody, and I stumbled across this little song, if you will, story by a woman that is well known, and we're going to play it. It's called The Christmas Guest, and it's by Reba McEntire, so sit back and enjoy.
It happened one day near December's end, two neighbors called on an old friend. And they found his shop so meager and lean, made gay with 1,000 bows of green. And Conrad was sitting with face a shine, when he suddenly stopped as he stitched a twine. And he said, "Old friends at dawn today, When the cock was crowing the night away, the Lord appeared in a dream to me and said, I'm coming your guest to be. So I've been busy with feet astir and strewing my shop with branches of fir. The table is spread and the kettle is shined, and over the rafters the holly is twined. Now I'll wait for my Lord to appear and listen closely so I will hear his step as he nears my humble place. And I open the door and look on his face. So his friends went home and left Conrad alone, for this was the happiest day he had known. For long since his family had passed away, and Conrad had spent many a sad Christmas day. But he knew with the Lord as his Christmas guest, this Christmas would be the dearest and best. So he listened with only joy in his heart, and with every sound he would rise with a start and look for the Lord to be at his door, like the vision he had had a few hours before. So he ran to the window after hearing a sound, but all he could see on the snow-covered ground was a shabby beggar whose shoes were torn, and all of his clothes were ragged and worn. But Conrad was touched, and he went to the door, and he said, you know, your feet must be frozen and sore. I have some shoes in my shop for you, and a coat that'll keep you warmer, too. So with grateful heart, the man went away, but Conrad noticed the time of day and wondered what made the Lord so late and how much longer he'd have to wait. When he heard a knock, he ran to the door, but it was only a stranger once more, a bent old lady with a shawl of black, with a bundle of kindling piled on her back. She asked for only a place to rest, but that was reserved for Conrad's great guest. But her voice seemed to plead, don't send me away. Let me rest for a while on Christmas Day. So old Conrad brewed her a steaming cup and told her to sit at the table and sup. But after she left, he was filled with dismay, for he saw that the hours were slipping away, and the Lord hadn't come as he said he would, and Conrad felt sure he'd misunderstood. When out of the stillness he heard a cry, please help me and tell me where am I? So again he opened his friendly door and stood disappointed as twice before. It was only a child who'd wandered away and was lost from her family on Christmas Day. Again, Conrad's heart was heavy and sad, but he knew he should make the little girl glad. So he called her in and he wiped her tears and quieted all her childish fears. Then he led her back to her home once more. But as he entered his own darkened door, he knew the Lord was not coming today, for the hours of Christmas had passed away. So he went to his room and knelt down to pray, and he said, dear Lord, why did you delay? What kept you from coming to call on me? For I wanted so much your face to see. When soft in the silence a voice he heard, lift up your head, for I kept my word. Three times my shadow crossed your floor, and three times I came to your lonely door. I was the beggar with bruised cold feet, and I was the woman you gave something to eat. I was the child on the homeless street. Three times I knocked, and three times I came in, and each time I found the warmth of a friend. Of all the gifts, love is the best, and I was honored to be your Christmas guest.
Well, there you have it, the Christmas guest. And I just think that was just so fitting after hearing what Jamie had to say. I think I'm ready to get the tissue out. And Vicki, are you there?
Oh, hey, Becky. I've already got the tissue out, darling. What a special message from Reba, and what special ties she has to the country way of life and to the rodeo world and the rodeo family as we know it. So that was special. And I know we have some other guests on the line. Somebody take it over and tell us another great Christmas memory.
I know that I think we have, and bear with me, everyone, if you're listening, if you're talking, great. If you come on and introduce yourself, just say who you are, and then we'll let you talk. And if you're just listening while someone is talking, make sure you mute yourself out so there's no background noise. But I know we have Miss Kay Pinch on the line, and we have David Brown, and I believe we have Carol Enos on the line. So I'm going to go ahead and actually ask David to come on. David's been with us since early. So, David, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I'm so glad that you could come on. So please share with our audience something special that you remember about one of your Christmases back.
Well, there's really one that stands out to me more than any other, and it's when I was 10 years old. My daddy was a pilot in the Air Force. And we were kind of used to holidays when he wasn't able to get there. And we thought we were going to have another Christmas like that. We had, Daddy was on a three-month mission over in Europe. This was in the late 1960s, 67 or 68. And he wasn't supposed to be back until January. But they had some kind of an emergency, and he had to fly somebody home, and he just talked them into letting them stay. And we went down to the Air Force base, and he flew in on Christmas Eve. And the magic for me, it was weird because he's climbing down a ladder to get out of this airplane. And, of course, he's wearing his Air Force flight suit. But I swear I saw him in Santa's costume. I mean, to me, that was Santa Claus climbing out of that airplane, you know. Oh. And it was so magical, and he didn't have a bag of toys. He did bring a big chest full of toys that they had packed, but it wasn't even about that. It was just, I got my dad for Christmas, and that was the best Christmas present, you know.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine being you know, a kid that from year to year you don't know because your parents serving overseas or gone and away with us, like that excitement. You know, I was blessed enough that most years my parents were there, so I can only imagine. Did you say you were 10?
At that time I was, yes.
Wow. So was he in a Santa suit, though? Or was it just him?
I beg your pardon?
Was he in an actual Santa suit, though, or was it you just thought it was?
Oh, no. It was just in my mind's eye. He was in his military flight suit. I mean, you know, but it was Santa Claus, you know. It was the magic of Christmas coming through.
It definitely was red, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, his dad's rank got up. He was just one of the, you know, captains then, just another pilot. But when he got to be a major, lieutenant colonel, it got a little easier because he had more say in where he went and what days he got to be at home. So it got better. But the early years, it was really tough with him being gone so much.
I bet.
So it was real special when he was dead.
Go ahead, Aunt Vic.
Oh, I was just going to say, what a great story, David. You know, that's the true meaning of Christmas, you know, and you know, going back to growing up on the ranch, I can think of a lot of different memories and a lot of different times. And I can also relate to Jamie's story of 1995. There were a lot of lean years when the Farm Credit Barn banks crashed and the loans were all called. But you know what? Christmas was always Christmas, and it just seemed like God always provided. So what a great story. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so
You're
much,
welcome.
David. We appreciate you coming on tonight. We have Kay here on the line, too. Kay, are you there? Kay, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
I sure can. Welcome back
to the
show.
Okay, good. Hi. You know, I thought today of a lot of wonderful family memories from the past, and I sure intended to tell one or two, but something came up that I wanted to share right now with you. Last week, we found out that our beloved sister-in-law, Joel's brother's wife, Bonnie Pinch, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and sent home from the hospital. And that is a very warm, loving family. She and Jim have seven children, and they're all involved in the agriculture business, or most of them are anyway. They also had a construction business, but they were best known for their love of kids and the fact that there always were a big batch of kids around the house, and they always had Christmas caroling at their place. It was a tradition on Christmas Eve. And so it was pretty sad to learn that we're going to lose the matriarch of the family that everyone so dearly loves. Well, everybody around Roseburg was calling and asking the kids, what can we do for your mom? What can we do? And how's your dad doing? And because he's had a lot of problems, too. He has a worn-out heart, and he lost an eye, and he has a lot of things going against him, but still has that wonderful spark. Well, a man named Alan Painter called and said, I've got an idea. I'd like to make her have a wonderful scene to look out her window. Now, Bonnie is an extremely devout Catholic, and her faith means so much to her. So he constructed a beautiful nativity scene and brought out 15 trees and decorated them all with lights. And that excited the family, and they got some blow-ups that they had in their basement. So they have a virtual wonderland for Bonnie. And they're going to have their Christmas open house and sing, caroling sing on Christmas Eve, the same as usual. And I just thought that was such a sweet, wonderful Christmas story, because that's what it's really all about, is sharing and loving. And even when we get terrible news, God is with us, and it shows how good people are.
That's a beautiful story, Kay. This is Vicki, and that is the heart of our Christmas stories, is when we see that light shining through. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I can stay on in hold, and if you run out of people, I will tell some other little funny stories later, okay?
Well, Kay, please stay on with us, because I know you have some great stories. I was just thinking back and reminiscing back when, you know, Uncle Valley Roundup Days and the Christmas tree lot. We definitely have some stories there. I remember a Christmas tree I nailed to the front porch so you couldn't open the door at the Happy Valley Ranch. So anyway, stay on with us, please.
Okay. Thank you so much, Vicki, excuse me.
That's okay. I think we've gotten that my whole life, between
yeah.
the two. Well, we're going to go
imagine.
To... Yeah. That's okay. I get used to it. And I still answer.
Very good.
Well, we're going to go...
Okay, I'll let
go
someone
to...
else, since you have a lot of guests. But I'll be waiting. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to go to our next little song that I picked out just to... bring in some Christmas cheer. This is an oldie but goodie. It's one of my favorite bands, country bands. It's one that, you know, whenever I hear them sing anything, I instantly am taken back to my childhood and always good memories, funny things that I can think of way back, traveling down the road, Caldwell in particular, in Caldwell Night Rodeo. But we are going to listen to Alabama. So sit back and enjoy Christmas in Dixie, and then we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we'll be back.
By now in New York City, There's snow on the ground. And out in California, the sunshine's falling down. And maybe down in Memphis, Graceland's all in lights. And in Atlanta, Georgia, there's peace on earth tonight. Christmas in Dixie, it's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie to everyone tonight. Windy in Chicago. The kids are out of school. There's magic in Motown. The city's on the move. In Jackson, Mississippi, to Charlotte, Carolina, across the nation, it's a peaceful Christmas time. Christmas in Dixie, it's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie to everyone tonight. And from Fort Payne, Alabama, Merry Christmas
tonight. 4radio.com.
Since 1997, Tres Rios Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tres Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
4radio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you for joining us this evening. We are just camped out around the phones and sipping on some coffee and sitting in our cozy, comfy slippers and chit-chatting about all things Christmas and why we love Christmas so much and what it means to us. And we've had some wonderful guests so far this evening come on and share some of their warm Christmas memories, and we have more to share. I know I have my beautiful Aunt Vicki co-hosting with me tonight. Donna Lynn is away. She is in Australia and smack dab in the middle of Christmas there. They are, I believe, 17 hours ahead of us, so it's already celebration time there. So as I said earlier, we wish her well and wish her Merry Christmas, and we are glad that she's able to spend that time with her family, and we will see her when she gets back. We have just gotten back from visiting with three or four people, and I know we have some callers in the queue, and I'm not sure who they are, but if you do want to come on the line and share your story with us, that would be great. You just have to dial 1 to go into the host queue, and that will bring you into the queue, and our producer Maria will let us know you're on the line, and then we'll bring you out so you can share your wonderful Christmas memories. I do have to say, though, right now we do have a friend of ours who is laid over on the flight. She was with us a few weeks ago. She is rodeo for a reason, and it's Kendra Dixon, and she is joining us from the airport. Kendra, are you there?
Hey, guys. Yes, I'm here.
Hey, ooh. Kendra. Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. What, now, tell us, where are you laid over at?
Well, I'm in Newark, New Jersey. My family and I came to New York City for a few days. I left my boots and spurs in Aubrey. And we came to the big city to celebrate Christmas early.
Wonderful. And you've made it from New York to New Jersey? Is that, am I understanding you must have had a short flight?
Actually, we drove in. This is where our flight leaves. But we should be landing in Dallas shortly, but our flight was delayed. So sometimes, you know, God just does things on purpose, and we're just thankful to be here. And I guess this is the beginning of a really interesting Christmas story for me and my family.
Oh, Kendra, this is Vicki. We're so happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a special Christmas memory you'd like to share this evening?
Other than being here this weekend with my family, which is not the norm for us, usually we stay very close to home, and my assistant, Hope Schuster, actually held the fort down while I was gone this weekend, so she's been taking care of the horses and the dogs. But I can remember, this is kind of a funny story, when I was a little girl, and I remember writing the letter to Santa Claus. I listed several things like, you know, I wanted a baby doll, and I wanted some new boots, and I wanted new jeans, and I wanted a new horse, of course. I think I was about 6 years old. And I can remember debating in my head how much money to ask for, because I knew if I asked for a large sum of money, I probably wouldn't get it. And so at the end of my letter to Santa Claus, I asked for $2. So I wanted a new horse and $2. And my mom thought it was so funny, she mailed it. That was back when Johnny Carson was on air. And he read my letter to Santa on air, and my parents got to speak out of that.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
So. Wait a minute. Your letter was read on Johnny Carson. Is that what you said?
Yes.
How did he get? Now, wait a minute. Did she mail it off to the show? Is that what?
Yes.
You got to expand on that. So your Christmas letter went viral for back then.
Yeah, if you could call it that back in the day, right? Before internet.
Oh my goodness! How about that? That's crazy. But you got your $2. Yeah. Did you get your horse?
You know, I think I got my horse, but I didn't get the $2. Typical for my family. Very typical.
Oh,
that is a great story.
Well, so now tell me, just, I know you've got a little bit of time. What made you choose to go to New York? Because it seems like to me that there's a lot of people in our, you know, walk of life that are heading to New York. I don't know if they just need a break from the hills, and they need some city lights because of, you know, Christmas and all the lights, or what is there something spectacular going on back there? Or is it just everybody picked?
My daughter and I have come a couple of times over the past 6 years, and we actually talked to my husband Chad into coming with us this time, which was kind of a hoot because it really is like you know, redneck from Texas comes to the big city, right? So I was a little nervous about how he would handle things. But he did great and was very patient with the crowds and very patient to wait on us girls. And Caden brought her little friend with her. So it's just fun to, you know, get out of the country sometimes and see people from different walks of life and just come get to experience a little different culture. Yeah, this is the place to do it for us.
Kendra, this is Vicki, and I know why Vicki asked that, because our guest co-hosts, Cody Custer and Stacy, and their family, they're all in New York City. They're in the city this weekend,
too. For the PBR.
So, yes, yes. How fun.
We heard them. I heard them talk about it on the morning news this morning, and then I've actually seen little stickers plastered all over the city about the PBR, and we were stuck in such horrible traffic on the way to the airport. Chad and I were talking about how in the world would you drive a truck and trailer up here? I feel so sorry for whoever had to drive that stock up, you know, to Madison Square Garden, because it is, we ask, it is literally in the heart of the city. And I don't know how they maneuver those rigs through here. I really don't.
Just totally unreal.
They
deserve
a raise.
Totally.
Whoever got the job needs a raise.
Definitely. And it's Christmas, a big present.
And is the weather okay back there?
It was awesome. Chad walked around in shorts for 2 days because we were in the 70s here. And back home, you know, it's icy. Crystal in Oklahoma, she's got ice everywhere. And I think we'd get down to 25 at home tonight. So I've got my jacket packed. I'm ready to go back to reality, you know, when we land this evening.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. I know you've got some airport watching to do, but we sure appreciate you coming on and sharing your Christmas story with us and sharing the holiday with us and our guests.
Y'all and
yes,
everyone
Merry
else listening, have a very Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry
Thank
Christmas.
Thank you,
Kendra.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that's awesome that Kendra was able. I know she had said she was might be in flight, so she wasn't sure if she was going to be able to come on and visit with us tonight. So that's pretty exciting that she was able to. Again, is there any callers out there that wanted to chime in and visit with us and share their Christmas story? Please just dial one and let Maria know, and we'll bring you on, and she'll let me know you're there. And in the meantime, we are going to also, we have Greg on the line, Doring. Greg, are you there?
Yeah, good evening. This is Greg.
I didn't see it at the finals.
No,
yes,
we,
I didn't either, Greg.
We didn't cross trails. I was back there 4 days. I went by your booth a couple times, but we just wasn't in the cards, I guess.
Well, dang it, I'm sure sorry.
I just wanted to share a little bit that, you know, it seems like, you know, when we're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, that at one time it kind of makes us focus on family and friends, always cherish reaching out and hearing from people we don't see too often and getting their Christmas letters and kind of catching up a little bit. So it just makes a special time of year. And a couple things on gifts, you know, I've learned through the years to really appreciate, especially the handmade things, whether it's, you know, something leather tooled or something your kids make or grandkids or, you know, family and friends. But I think the other word of advice for those who maybe don't have a whole lot, you know, you talk to your kids and, you know, they can't remember from 1 year to the next really what they got for Christmas unless it's something, you know, really big or special. But so many times the things they do remember is that whether it's a camping trip or, you know, some kind of family outing that they'll remember for years, or even, you know, serving in a soup kitchen or how they helped somebody else. So those are the things that are special to me.
Well, this is Vicki, and Greg, I can definitely, it brings back a holiday season for me about, oh, gosh, it had to have been 4 or 5 years ago, and I wanted the kids because they were right in the prime of, you know, the heart of give me, give me, give me at Christmas. And I just really wanted to just take a step back and do something for somebody else and hopefully impart to them that it's better to give than give than to receive. And so I volunteered the kids and I to give out, go down to a transitional home where they feed the low-income senior citizens. And they had enough kitchen help, so we said, well, you know what, we'll make some cookies, and we'll bring cookies down to everybody. And I'll never forget it. My oldest daughter, Caitlin, she's 21 now, but at the time, her and I went to town making cookies one night. And we had no idea that the task at hand and knowing how many cookies we needed to make. And we made cookies, and we made cookies, and we made cookies. And we put them on these trays, and we got them all wrapped up, and Sabrina and all of them helped us. And then the kids and I loaded them all up, and we took them down to this little place. And it wasn't a big place, but we just got to start handing them out to all these folks that were coming in and being served Christmas dinner. And then the kids got to interact with them and play games with them. And I'm telling you, I was so blessed, and I think my kids are blessed too, because they saw a different side of, oh, wow, there really is others out there that don't have what we have. And so I think it's important for kids to do that. I think it's important for them to learn to give back, because I think it sets the standard for their future and their giving, so they know that that's God gave to us and we need to give to others.
You know, Becky, Greg, this is Vicki, and I just don't think there's any greater joy than sharing the gift of giving. And sometimes it sneaks up on us and it grabs us, and it's like the opportunity and the door is open, and we take it and we run with it, and we truly are the ones that are blessed the most by it. So, I mean, that's the true meaning of Christmas.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And, you know, we've as family have done the soup kitchen and the separated families, and, you know, spent the night and served food and various things, and it's always said you receive much more than you ever give.
Amen
you know,
to that.
Great. Amen, and that is so true, you know, and that just brings back a thought about my dad, Becky's grandpa, and that is, you know, he pretty much lived Christmas every single day of his life, and I learned a lot from him just by being able to spend time with him, because he was never judgmental, you know, of anyone that had their hand out. He used wise judgment when it came to giving, but he always gave from his heart, and he gave every day. So it was Christmas every day of the year.
That's the way it should be. It'd be nice if we would not get so wrapped up in our daily activities to, you know, be able to help and not pass up opportunities to share our blessings.
Well, Greg, I just want to ask one more quick question. I know there's probably some others that want to share, but what is a Christmas memory for you that just makes you laugh and just tickles you all over every time you think about it? Do you have one of those?
I will have to tell one on Mom and my dad. Is, you know, we were like many have shared tonight, weren't, you know, necessarily the wealthiest, and, you know, that we would get a few small things, and usually, you know, whatever is going to be the biggest item would be the last. And I remember one year, years and years ago, my mom got a toilet seat as for her last gift, you know, and, yeah, we needed a new toilet seat, but, you know, she...
Like,
you know,
she needed a new iron, right?
She wasn't really wanting to, you know, you could see kind of the, you know, disappointment. And my dad said, well, you might want to open it up and see, you know, how it works or whatever. So she did, and there was, I'm not sure the dollar amount, but there was at least $300 or $400 taped to it for her to buy a barrel horse. So anyway, that was one of the fun ones that went from disappointment to, you know, thrilled, because, you know, that was a lot of money in those days. So.
It was three $100 bills. This is Kay, and I have to jump in here. It was three $100 bills, and the horse that I had found, I knew where some colts were for sale for $500. Well, I was so thrilled to get this $300, because he said it was a horse collar rather than a toilet seat, and I lifted it up, and there were the $300. But it took me a long, long time to get the last $200. We went over to Redmond, and I picked out a colt whose name was Guthrie Santa, and I thought that was appropriate for a Christmas present, and gave him the $300 down. But then I would just send him, you know, $25 when I could. And it took quite a while. So finally they said, Kay, you better come get him. We're tired of feeding him. And you can continue. You don't have too much left. And you can pay it off as you can. So that was how I got my first barrel race and horse.
I love it.
Yeah, it'd be nice to say he became a world champion, but he didn't. But he did have a couple of really better owners after I finally gave up on him. I did, you know, pretty good for where we were going. I won the second one I ever entered on him, but it was way up north in Canada, and it was a very stormy weekend and real. There was a lot of water, and he was only. He was either two or three. I believe he was two the first year, and I'd only run him once. And so I was really pretty scared, and I go out there pretty careful because I didn't want him, you know, I just loped him around the barrels. And I ended up tied for first. Well, they didn't go by professional rules, even though it was a professional rodeo. They said, we're just going to have a runoff for you two girls. So I let him out a little bit, and I beat her by a full second.
There you go. He was worth the toilet seat at $300.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you guys so much for coming back on today. It's so nice. It's like a piece of home just sitting here. You know, Aunt Vicki and I live so far away, and then having you guys on the phone, it's like being a kid again and having Christmas for me, just because everybody used to come to the ranch and just all those memories flood. So I just say thank you so much for coming on. We're gonna go to our next song, and this is going to kind of go along with the toilet seat barrel horse. It's an upbeat kind of song. So I think you guys will sit back and enjoy it. This is George Strait and our famous duck commander, Phil Robertson, singing Christmas Cookies.
Awesome.
Very good. Bye-bye, and thank you.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I think it's coming on.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and bells of stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Now Christmas cookies are a special treat. The more she bakes, the more I eat. And sometimes I can't get myself to stop.
Mm-hmm, I know what you mean there, Phil.
Sometimes she'll wait till I'm asleep to take the ones I didn't eat and put those little sprinkly things on top. What do you think about it, Joe?
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and bells of stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Tell me about it, Phil. Now those sprinkly things just make things worse. Makes them better than they were at first. And they're absolutely impossible to resist.
Yes, they are.
Now some disappear to who knows where. But I make sure I get my share. And those kids just stand there waiting for the ones I miss.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar.
Yes, sir, I do.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. Miss Kay gets mad that they're all gone before she gets the icing put on. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Now play it, boys.
Thank you.
a benefit to all of this that you might have overlooked or missed. So let me tell you the best part of it all.
Can't wait to hear what that is.
Every time she sticks a batch in the oven, there's 15 minutes for some kissing and hugging.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I eat Christmas cookies all year long.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and bells of stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Amen, George.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
This is one of the craziest things I've ever done in my life.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, honey.
Welcome back. And I just had to play that song. I'm sure you all know the scrutiny that Mr. Robertson's been under, and I just love everything that their show and their family represent, and I stand behind him and where he's at and what he's going through, and I think everybody on our team does. So I just wanted to play that song, and plus I love George Strait. What do you think, Aunt Vic?
Sounds great, honey. That was, I love that song. I mean, that just brings a smile to your face and just, it makes your heart smile. So it's good.
Well, it has been a wonderful hour, I have to say. I'm so excited for everybody that was able to call in. I know real quick before we end the show, the one thing I wanted to share that just reminded me of one of my favorite Christmas memories, and I know you'll remember this one, is I'll never forget the time, you know, we used to go up to the ranch all the time in Eugene up to Grandma Molly's house, and all the family would come up there, Aunt Vicki and you and Uncle Henry and Aunt Pat and the cousins, and everybody would come up there. And I remember one year, you know, because us cousins, Amy, Anna, me, Michelle, we all just wanted to be trick riders like our aunts were. And I remember that very special year we all got matching trick riding suits. Do you remember that?
Oh, my gosh. I do, Becky.
Oh.
I do remember that. Yeah, lots of special memories, Becky. You know, I was just sitting here kind of reminiscing through my mind, listening to the Christmas songs, and it took me back to a lot of, you know, to when I was really, really young, and your grandpa was picking up Bronx, and we hauled stock down to Dallas, Texas for the first NFR rodeo in 1959, and I can remember leaving the ranch in Eugene with your grandpa and your grandma, Lucille, and your dad, Bobby Jr., and we had a Christmas tree in the trunk of the car, and we hauled it all the way to Texas. It's a long ways between Oregon and Texas. And anyway, I was real concerned how Santa Claus was going to find us on that 19th floor of that downtown Dallas hotel. And you know what? He did. The miracle of Christmas still took place, no matter where you are in this world, no matter how far away you think you are from home. The miracle of Christmas and what Christmas is and the birth of Jesus takes place.
Oh, isn't that so true? I love you so much. And I'm so glad that we're able to spend each week doing this. And I wish Donna Lynn could be here tonight, but I know she's enjoying your family. And gosh, we could sit and talk for another hour or so, but our time is running short. So we are going to close out. I've got another lovely message from Crystal Lyons on Cowgirl Logic on chicken. Go figure, on chicken. So I just want to say thank you to all our listeners for tuning in, and we will be back next week. And I hope between now and then that you all have a very, very Merry Christmas. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your time with each other. And remember, you're the arms and feet of Jesus, and you're the only Jesus that someone will ever see. So be sure to reach out and wish someone a very Merry Christmas. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you all for joining us. Merry Christmas.
Where's the camera when you need one? I heard the chickens going H-nerd and ran out to see what was the matter. The longhorn bull was inside the chicken house, calmly eating hay out of the nest and licking up the laying pellets out of the hanging feeder, while the chickens were bouncing off the walls. It was a Kodak moment. While crazed chickens were flying over his back, he quietly turned his head sideways so he could fit his horns through the door and come back out. I am sure that egg production will be down for a day or so. How did it happen? Well, a small gate was left open, and that was all it took for me to have a laugh and the chickens something to cackle about for a few hours. Did you know that not every open door is to be walked through? I've heard people say, I knew it was God because it just opened up for me. Heck, I've said those same words myself. But some of them open doors that I walked through thinking they were God left a memory that isn't near as funny to me as that bull in the chicken house, although come to think of it, it did give folks something to cackle about for a while. God wants us to be led by His Spirit, that still, quiet voice on the inside of us that we could just brush off as nothing if we don't watch it, not an open door. Some open doors are God. But the point is, we are not to be led by them. I have walked through some of those open doors before and been just about out of my element and in the wrong place as that bull was in the chicken house. Problem was, took me a lot longer to get back out. But I have got to say, I've learned some valuable lessons, one of which is, even though a bull eats all the land pellets, he still ain't going to lay any eggs. And this is Crystal Lines, and you've been listening to Cowgirl Logic.
Till He appears.